As electricity systems around the world accelerate their shift towards renewable energy, one technology is rapidly moving from the sidelines to center stage, and that's energy storage. Once considered a niche part of the power system, storage is now recognized as a strategic asset that reinforces energy security, grid stability, affordability, and decarbonization. But just how quickly is the sector evolving? And what does the latest data tell us about how Europe's storage sector is tracking? In this episode of the Energy Transitions podcast, I speak to Jacopo Tosoni, Deputy Secretary General at Energy Storage Europe, about the latest European Market Monitor for Energy Storage report. Together, we unpack the remarkable growth of Europe's storage market, explore why countries such as the UK, Italy, and Germany are leading deployment, and discuss the policies needed to unlock even greater investment. We also examine Europe's competitive advantage in storage innovation and why, despite the challenges that remain, there is a good reason to be optimistic about the decade ahead. I'm Pamela Larg, and this is the Energy Transitions Podcast. Jacopo, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about energy storage, which is really an increasingly important topic in our global energy transition. And more specifically, we're talking about the latest European Market Monitor for Energy Storage report. So I think it would be a good idea to start just by giving us an idea of what the key findings were in that report. And of course, maybe just a bit of introduction for our listeners.
Sure, glad to be here. As Energy Storage Europe, we cooperate with LCP Delta in producing the European Market Monitor for Energy Storage. It's been 10 years that we do it. So we started when, indeed, Energy Storage was a very, very small kid. No one was really paying attention to it. But I think this report really shows that things have changed. We have energy storage overtaking nuclear in terms of power capacity installed. I mean, it's power capacity, so gigawatt, not gigawatt hour, but still it's a good sign that tells where the sector is going, maybe. Energy storage has already reached 100 gigawatt just a few months back, so in December of 2025. And we see that the growth, it's pretty dramatic. I mean, compared to just 5 years ago, we're talking 5 to 6 to 7 times the amount of new installed energy storage capacity. A lot of the growth is driven by electrochemical storage that's really expanding rapidly. Historically, of course, Europe has pump hydro. It's the substantial, mature technology. But there is also new solutions, especially looking at long-duration energy storage that are reaching the market, becoming more and more important. And that's maybe something to keep an eye on for the next few years and then for the 2030s. I think we really see new markets also happening, or becoming more important, I mean. Historically, we've always focused on certain markets like Great Britain, Italy, Germany, but now Poland and Belgium are growing, and growing especially in front of the meter. That's maybe the engine of growth. In the past, of course, beyond the meter was dominant, but now maybe this is changing, and changing quite fast. The market itself is becoming quite mature. We see the project duration becoming longer. We have an average duration of between 2 and 3 hours, but that's going to increase, and we expect 3 hours project becoming the norm in the next few years. We're also starting to see maybe new models to get revenues, tolling agreements, revenue floors is becoming much more common. Also, maybe the complexity, let's say, of these solutions or this type of contracts, it's increasing. But again, that's pretty normal with a maturing technology. And as I was saying before, we would like to suggest to keep an eye on the commercial and industrial sectors. The technologies are there, probably. There's still a lot of challenges from commercial perspective, CapEx, maybe network charges, actually being able to access the different markets, but it's increasing. Finally, maybe the big important thing is the integration with renewables. The deployment is maybe now more than ever tied with solar and wind uptake. We've seen negative price periods. We see big challenges with grid congestion. And I think there's more and more awareness from project developer side, but to be fair, also from policymakers, that renewables and storage, to a great extent, go hand in hand.
I have so many questions and aspects of that summary that I'd like to delve into. Okay, but first, let me ask this. It seems that energy storage is becoming more of a strategic priority, or it's viewed with more strategic importance. You know, you did mention, as opposed to maybe a few years back where it was less so. What is driving this? Is it perhaps the fact that we are trying to decarbonize our energy system and incorporate more renewables? And frankly, it's just an absolutely critical portion of the energy system.
Yeah, I think the environmental aspect is important, but at this moment where we've seen massive public investments, the driver maybe have been different. They've been energy security, have been security of supply from everything like the Italian Maxe to the grid stability efforts in the Baltic. The vision for energy storage being of something that ensure the strategic interest of a certain country being protected and the economic interests of a country being protected, and maybe the bill of the consumers being lowered. This is, of course, again, everything is much easier when the technology is mature, when from a financial perspective, the technology or the project is bankable, even as a standalone asset. But all these things considered, it means that energy storage seems as a way to move away from fossil fuels, environmental dimension, but also energy security dimension, looking at what's happening in Hormuz, security of supply dimension, looking at maybe what's happened in terms of blackout and what's their expectation, looking at how inertia levels and maybe grid voltage efforts will have to develop in the next few years. And finally, again, the economic dimension, being able to make the most of cheap electricity generation, renewables, and therefore, yeah, making sure that the consumers and the citizens, the industry benefit from the transition.
Are there countries that stood out in the report as being leaders in terms of energy storage project deployment? And I think coupled with that question, I'd also like to ask, what are those countries doing right in order to achieve that level of deployment?
So the three countries that are market leaders are Great Britain, Germany, and Italy. And they could not be more different from one from the other. And I will even say that at least one of them is doing many things pretty badly. And I'm looking at Germany. I think if we look at Great Britain and Italy, they are consistent leaders of front of the meter, great deployment. The UK has a clear strategy, a clear vision. Italy, same, has actually a strategy for energy storage, which is pretty rare in Italy, sorry, in Europe. So there's clear understanding of what's the need. There's good revenue streams accessible to energy storage. There is a clear effort from the regulator, from the regulated entities to deploy energy storage, and that's paying dividends in terms of front-of-the-meter deployment. Germany is still the leader of behind-the-meter, both residential, also commercial and industrial. There are good network charges, but they are changing, so we will have to check how this specific aspect. Network charges are particularly impactful for energy storage projects. And there's good merchant opportunities. So maybe not a lot of direct subsidies, but yeah, it's still interesting from a investor's perspective. As we said, maybe while for Italy and the UK, we see a clear understanding of what's the role of energy storage, for Germany, it's more almost spontaneous to a great extent. We see what's happening at the governmental level, but also stakeholder-wise, people are still not fully embracing energy storage, maybe as much as they should. I mean, efforts from German government to ensure energy security, which was I was mentioning before, are focusing on gas and maybe potentially on hydrogen, but really on gas. So it's almost like the growth of energy storage has to great extent happened despite not the best environment in the country. I think, the main message that we had for this MS is that the growth is incredible, but nonetheless, there's not a single country, which is perfect in terms of economics or in drivers, but also that has reached its potential. So if we look maybe at 2030, or if we're looking beyond, let's be clear, the picture that I'm painting right now could very well shift. Even if we look at what's happened in the past 2 to 5 years, we had Poland that went from a very small energy storage market to a massive pipeline, more than 10 gigawatts of electrochemical storage. And the same is happening, for example, with the Netherlands or Belgium, with maybe being a top five market, both of them, either for residential or for front of the meter solution, and with a massive acceleration in demand for energy storage solutions.
Indeed, a spontaneous approach to policy is never a good thing, and I don't think it provides the line of sight that investors necessarily need for storage projects. But clearly, policy and political will to really get behind this technology and the project deployment is critical. So, what would you like to see in terms of a policy and regulatory landscape that we don't already have?
If we look at the national level, it's a bit different compared to the European Union level. Maybe let's focus for now on the national level. We think it's a good recipe is a country that remunerates energy storage for all its services. So, of course, flexibility. But if we look at maybe specifically at stability services, yes, frequency, we have primary, secondary, and tertiary remuneration. It's something that is even legislated at the EU law. But all these other stability services that are now emerging related to inertia, related to grid voltage, maybe related to black stars, these are all things that we see not remunerated or remunerated on in certain country. And so it's a bit of a pity. If we look maybe at the flexibility part, we have huge challenges in terms of grid congestion. Like the Joint Research Center of the European Commission believes that by 2040, with a trajectory that doesn't deploy storage, in a scenario where storage is not deployed enough, we're going to get to 100 billion plus of ready dispatch costs. And we're seeing certain countries already trying to tackle that. The Netherlands has GoPax, which is a market-based procurement of energy storage to try to address the redispatch and congestion challenges. So that's great. If we look at maybe at the adequacy, capacity markets needs to be tailored to energy storage in the way they are designed, in the way we assess how much we actually need in terms of generation. I think we're a long way from doing a good job there. And finally, look at the energy storage role in the grid as a solution for grid challenges in terms of alternative to the grid expansion. So these are all important revenues. If we look at the cost side, the cost is mainly the network charges and taxation. The taxation, let's start with this. We don't have a lot of countries that still double tax energy storage, so when they charge and when they discharge, but they still are. Spain is a bad example, unfortunately. If we look at the maybe network charges, we see that again, maybe energy storage is subjected to fees that are not really designed with storage in mind, are the inheritance of regulation or legislation that was looking at generation and was looking at demand, and then using this approach to make energy storage projects pay without taking really into account what's their contribution vis-a-vis the grid. So this is for costs. And finally, for the project development part, we need to have a system that actually understand from the public administration what is an energy storage project and what kind of permitting procedures are sensible for energy storage. We're having huge headaches, huge queues, huge delays caused by this. And the same applies for grid connections. So in this case, vis-a-vis regulated entities. I think energy storage is in this sense, not really clear in the minds of the regulated entities and the public administration, and is not therefore treated in a way that makes sense for what it is, which is again neither generation nor consumption. So we need to have very good revenue streams, making sure that energy storage contributes to energy security, to security of supply as much as it can. We need to have sensible costs, and we need to have a project development procedure that allow energy storage to be deployed as fast as possible.
I know that energy storage perhaps hasn't been on everybody's radar as it should be. However, that does seem to be changing. And this month, we saw the signing of the first EU tripartite agreement on energy storage. So perhaps for our listeners, you can just provide a little bit more information on that agreement and what it signals, as well as whether or not you believe it's ambitious enough.
So let's start with the basics. So tripartite means that at the same table, there was the European institution and the member states. So let's say institutions, plus the European Investment Bank and the Bank of Reconstruction and Development. So people were able to commit some resources, some money on the table. On the other side, we had energy storage sector represented by us, by our members. So the people who bring projects to the table, both front of the meter and behind the meter. And on the third side of the table, it's a triangle, this table, we had the industry, we had the uptakers, the people who are dependent on cheap electricity prices to be competitive. And the idea was to sit down the table, set up targets for energy storage, set up clear commitments from the European Union in terms of helping, in terms of legislation, in terms of putting money on the table, and commitments also from the industry in terms of showing where their demand is going and making sure that it's clear what they need and when. From the energy storage sector, the commitment was to really deploy, to be helping with prices, to help with the energy system in general. And your second part of your question was, is this enough? I think for all the parties involved, it was very clear that this is the signal to investors from Europe, from outside of Europe, that Europe believes in energy storage. So it's a place to commit capital to. It's a place that is serious about the challenges that it's facing in terms of energy costs and it wants to change. But it was also clear from all the parties that more needs to be done. At the national level, member states, 22 of them, signed these tripartites. So not everyone, but a lot of them, will have to do even further work to maybe facilitate energy storage deployment. And from the European Union side, there was a clear understanding that in this effort needs to be complemented with legislation. And this legislation will take shape in many forms in terms of network charges legislation, taxation legislation, energy security related legislation, maybe a slightly twitch electricity market design. It's a first, let's say, a huge milestone because energy storage in Europe was never maybe codified. There was never really a target, but it's first step of many. And the good thing is that the many steps that the Commission believes needs to be taken, or the all the stakeholders, to be fair, are already in the agenda of the European Union institutions.
I want to pivot slightly to talk more about this trend that we're seeing, renewables coupled with storage projects. And I think it's quite an exciting trend. Tell us a little bit more about your report findings in this regard.
Energy storage is as we were saying before, an enabler, is critical infrastructure, is a strategic asset on its own. I think, as again, something I was mentioning before, probably there is challenges from grid availability. There are a lot of restrictions that are now being imposed on generation, but in terms of constraints at the local level, in terms of network, there's challenging also with achieving the grid connection, securing the grid connections. And there's challenges also maybe with delays. So this idea of, okay, let's co-locate solar with storage. So like this, we maybe overcome the restrictions and we have obtained grid availability. It's maybe the first big driver. The second one, it's curtailment. As I was mentioning, curtailment is on the rise. Having energy storage with renewables in this sense is an obvious synergy for balancing purposes. It's a great way to mitigate negative prices. It's a great way to time shift generation and therefore have, in the end, a stronger business case. Probably the third driver is the ability to improve grid flexibility of energy storage. So coupling renewable generator with energy storage allows this project to become project that actually manage the system and therefore maybe start adding new revenues from the ancillary market, from optimized dispatch to other grid services related to flexibility of stability. And therefore, again, it makes the business case simply stronger. Admittedly, we've seen some policy pushing for this kind of co-location, but it's relatively small driver. It's definitely not the main one. We've seen it in Bulgaria, for example, with a dedicated super scheme for co-located. Let's be clear. The driver here is not the policy, it's not the support. The driver here is really the economics.
I am aware that we are running out of time. So I'm going to ask you my final question, which is to do with, I think, the innovation space within energy storage, specifically within Europe. You know, there's a lot of conversation around, you know, the use of critical minerals and perhaps how we can innovate in the space so that we can have new types of energy storage that possibly provide a competitive edge for Europe. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think that there is a way that we can secure a competitive edge by innovating in the energy storage space?
Yes, long answer is that, I mean, pump hydro storage is the established giant in Europe. We have 54 gigawatt of energy storage. It's a technology in which European companies are very active. They're leaders, actually, in Europe. So that's a place for sure where we're going to see expansion, and it's a place for sure where Europe can conserve its advantage, its competitiveness. Maybe, I mean, today we discussed a lot energy storage for the grid, for the energy system. If we look actually maybe at two other competitive aspects of Europe, we can see that maybe there are certain technology where, energy storage and European energy storage can really, really play a key role. So first, the industry. We have huge challenges in terms of heavy competitive industry at this moment in Europe. The energy prices are very high. And I think to a great extent, we see a strong frustration from the industry that feels like it suffered only from the transition. We have, on the other side, strong European actors providing thermal energy storage solutions that would allow industry in Europe to store maybe the excess heat, for example, and decarbonize them, of course, but also provide system services to the grid or even participate in arbitrage. So this is a very small market at this moment if we compare it to the overall energy storage picture, because it's less than 1 gigawatt. But on the other hand, it's where there is a lot of potential, as I said, especially looking at the 2030s, it's where Europe it's in a very good position. And the third sector that maybe I would like to shed some light on is the AI sector, because at this moment there is a boom, of course. There is a boom that in the US has been especially driven by gas turbines, or AI center, data center has been coupled oftentimes with gas turbine. We're starting to see actually projects in Europe, outside of Europe, with long duration energy storage to support the data centers. And here we have, on the one hand, a huge demand, and the other hand, very strong actors at the European level for long duration energy storage, a wide array, electrochemical or compressor families. And so this could be a place where Europe becomes the leader in terms of making sure the data center are actually deployed and are relying at the same time on a technologies that are particularly strong in Europe, and the impact on the grid in the end is as limited as possible. Yeah, I think Europe has a huge opportunity in terms of long-duration energy storage for the grid, long-duration energy storage, and specifically maybe thermal for the industry, but also a wide array of solutions for the AI boom.
Would you describe yourself as optimistic in terms of where the energy storage sector is moving in Europe?
I think it's hard not to be. I've been working in this sector for a bit more than 7-8 years, something like that. And again, all the doors were closed, let's say, at that time, and now the doors are open, and again, the growth we're gonna have by the end of 2030s, compared to the beginning of the decade, is something on the ballpark of 30 times more deployment each year. So it's hard not to be optimistic, I would say.
Well, I certainly feel encouraged. Yes, just for all of our listeners, we will be including a link in the post to the report, so you can find out more about that. But in the meantime, Jacopo, thank you so much for joining me. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks to you, Pamela. It was a pleasure to be here.
And thank you to our listeners. Until next time, goodbye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Energy Transitions Podcast, brought to you by Enlit and Friends. That's a wrap from me, Pamela Larg, and our producer, Rion Mostert. We hope you can join us next time. Visit enlit.world or subscribe for more episodes.